Okay, this week is Parshas Behar B'Chukaisai, double Parsha, Shabbos Chazak, big Shabbos this week. The Al-Sheikh writes that Behar B'Chukaisai many years go together. Behar represents the Yetzer Hara. Like the Gemara reads in Sukkah Daf Nun Beis, that to the Tzaddikim, the Yetzer Hara appears like a har, Midma Lehen Kahar, appears like a mountain. So the Yetzer Hara is like, the mountain is called a har. When the Yetzer Hara comes to a person, and tries to talk a person, convince a person to doing an aveiro, it's not right. How do you answer back the Yetzer Hara? The Teretz is b'chukaisai. You tell the Yetzer Hara, b'chukaisai teilechu, that's its vaisai, tishmu v'asisim v'asam. No ands, ifs, or buts. This is the law, I have to do the mitzvahs, I have to keep the mitzvahs. Don't come with any tightness, don't give me any excuses, don't give me any reasons. In b'chukaisai teilechu, when the har comes, the answer is b'chukaisai. Because the minute you start arguing with the Yetzer Hara, you start listening to him, answering back, you start validating his tightness, he's a lot smarter than we are, and we end up falling into his trap. So the Eitzah is Bahar. When the Har comes, Michal Kaisai. Tell him, I'm a Yid, Michal Kaisai Teilechu, I follow the Torah, and I do the mitzvahs, and there's no ends, ifs, or buts, there's nothing to discuss. Parshas Bahar starts off with the Inyan of Shemitah. And we have the first Rashi in the Parashah Bahar Sinai, Ma Inyan Shemitah Eitzah Har Sinai. Rashi asks, what does Shemitah and Har Sinai have to do with each other? The first pasuk starts off, Ayedaber Hashem Moshe b'Har Sinai leimor, at Har Sinai. And the next pasuk, Daber b'nei Yisrael, v'amarta lehem, kisavoya la'aretz, when he comes to the land, Hashanim na'islecham, v'shav soha'aretz, Shabbos, Hashem, the land should rest, 6 years you work the land, the seventh year you rest. Why does the Torah start at Har Sinai, and then Shemitah? Ma'in Shemitah etzel Har Sinai. So Rashi tells us, just like Shemitah, all the kolam and the pratim, all the details, the generalizations, all the rules were set at Har Sinai, so too kol haTorah kulo, every last detail, every single mitzvah was said by Har Sinai, and the Torah, and we have to learn and understand all the mitzvahs. But just like by Shemitah, the Torah spells out all the details from A to Z, the same is true, all mitzvahs were detailed A to Z by Har Sinai. The Chidos is a very interesting pshat. Says the Chidah, the Gemara in Brachos on Heil Mebeis brings down that Rava said to his Talmidim, "B'motu minaychol, I beg of you that in the month of Nisan and the month of Tishrei, don't come to the Beis Hamikdash. Stay away, because the month of Nisan and Tishrei are the month when they plant and they harvest in the fields. So Rava told them, I want you to stay away those 2 months, work your fields, so you have parnasa for the rest of the year, and this way you'll be able to learn the rest of the year, the other 10 months." So 2 months a year, the Isaac and your Parnasa, to be able to learn the other 10 months. Gemara, so says Rava. I beg of you, stay away. Right. Says the Chidah, if you make a cheshbin over 6 years, they lost every year 2 months of learning. How many months did they lose over 6 years? 12 months. They lost an entire year. They lost the whole year. Says the Torah, on the seventh year, take a year off. There's no working the fields in the Shemitah. The Shavs are, it's a Shabbos Hashem. You're free. There's no planting. There's no plowing. There's no harvesting. Make up. So you have an extra year. Make up for the missing months of the previous 6 years. Make up in the seventh year. Manging Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai. The Torah was given on Har Sinai. Shemitah comes to make up for those missing months that they had to take off time. And 2 months a year, you know when they're going to make up those 2 months? In the year of Shemitah, by learning the entire year. Obviously, the year of Shemitah is not given for a vacation, but it's given for Kiyat, that a person should use the time that he has in order to make up what he wasn't able to do in the previous previous years. The Avodas HaGashuni brings down a very nice deep in the pasuk. If you go to pasuk Gimel says, "Shesh shanim tizra sadecha, v'shesh shanim tizmar karmecha." 6 years plant your field. And 6 years, prune your vineyards, vasaftas tvasa, and gather your tvua. Does the Torah really have to tell us that the 6 years we should plant and work the fields? Isn't that common sense? If the Torah didn't tell us to plant the fields for 6 years, we wouldn't know that that's what we have to do. First thing is parnasa. Why is the Torah telling us, say shonim, 6 years, plant your field, vashana shvis, the seventh year? Torah could have just said, in the seventh year, it's time to take a rest. So Shemitah. Why does the Torah stress the point, 6 years, work your fields, plant, and in the seventh year, rest? says that Avodah Zarah Geshuni, the Torah is teaching us that the same mindset, the same attitude, the same hashkafas you have in the seventh year, you have to have that same mindset in the 6 years as well. In the seventh year, everybody realizes, where's his parnasa coming from? He's not working that year. He's not working the fields. Where's his parnasa coming from? Hashem sent a bracha in the fields. Hashem sent a bracha, and they have food for the year. It wasn't their doing. It's obvious to all that Hashem sent a bracha, and that parnasa in the seventh year comes from Hashem. It says the Torah, Sheishonim Tizra Sadecha. Realize that in the 6 years that you plant, and the 6 years that you work your fields, it also all comes from Hashem. Don't think for a minute it's Kaichi Vaitzim Yodi, it's my power, it's my strength, it's my ability, my talent that did it. Just the opposite. The same way the seventh year a person realizes he did work, and Hashem sends a bracha and he asks Parnasa. The same is true in the 6 years that you did work, realize that it's not my doing, but realize that all the bracha, all the success that a person has, all comes from Hashem. The Ben Ish Chai is a fascinating insight. At Har Sinai, what happened at Har Sinai? Why did Hashem choose to give us the Torah at Har Sinai? Why not any other mountain? The Gemara brings down, after all, the mountains came and they argued, Olai, give the Torah on me. Hatova, Hakamel, they all came and they... Oh, Hashem chose Har Sinai. Why? Because Har Sinai was the smallest of all the mountains. Har Sinai wasn't about Gaiva. Har Sinai was the smallest of all the mountains. So Hashem gave the Torah on the smallest of all the mountains. The one that was the least ended up with the most, ended up with the Torah being given in Har Sinai, and Har Sinai is one of the most famous mountains that we know. Shemitah, what happens? Shemitah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'tzivisi es birchasi lachem shavoshonim. I'll command and I'll give a bracha on your fields for 3 years, and the field produced so much, you have an abundance of food in the year of Shemitah. Turns out, in the seventh year of Shemitah, where you didn't work the field, that's when you have the biggest bracha. Turns out, doing less work results in having more. To show you that it's not the more that a person does, it's not his kayach, it doesn't matter how much a person does, but it all comes from Hashem. Just like by Har Sinai, being small, being less, brought about more, the Torah was given in Har Sinai, this famous true by Shemitah. The year that you work the less, you work the least, that's when you have the bracha. Doesn't say it's a bracha the first year, the second year, the third year when you work. It's the Shemitah that has the bracha. It's Nisus V'chasi Lachem. Doing less brings more. So the more a person realizes that everything that he has comes from Hashem, Hashem sends down a bracha to a person. And the Chinuch Taka writes that one of the reasons for Shemitah is to teach us bitachon. That here you have a whole year without working, and yet the Kodesh Baruch Hu sends us a bracha bitachon that a person has. The pasuk says later on, "V'chiyamach achicha, u'mata yadoi imach." I believe it's right before. Rebbe, Shishi, right? By Shishi, and Perik Chafei pasuk Lamates. V'chiyamach achicha imach. Sorry, no, I want the early pasuk. Pasuk Lamatei, sorry, Perik Chafei pasuk Lamatei. If your brother becomes poor, you should strengthen him. Your brother's falling, you should help him out. The post is strengthen him. So I'll tell you the truth. I was looking through what we said over in the previous years, and I found that we had two nice stories to bring out a point in this pasuk. So I was debating which one to say.
Both.
So we'll start with one, and we'll look at the clock afterwards. We'll see. Okay. The Ben Ish Chai says, "Umoto yodoi imach." What does the word imach mean? With you, brother. If he becomes poor, umoto yodoi imach. With you, what's the imach? What's with you? You see your brother's poor. Umoto yodoi. Vechzak the boy, strengthen him. What does it mean with you? And he answers with one of the famous Mishalim. The king had a son, and the king realized that one day his son will take over and run the malchus, run the kingdom. And he felt that his son was not trained well enough in the laws of being a king, and the rules of being a king, proper behavior, proper manners, how to behave. He has to learn warfare, he has to learn financial matters. He wasn't properly trained. So he hires a big chacham to train his son. And the king tells the chacham, I want you to promise me that you're going to teach him everything that he needs to know to be a king. Don't leave anything out. Whatever is important for a king to know, that you have to teach him. And the Chacham agrees, and he takes the son under his wing, and he teaches the son. It takes a few years, and then comes to the king, and he says, I finished. I taught your son everything he needs to know. He's an officially eligible to be king. He passed all the tests, did all his homework. He's eligible to be king. The king goes ahead, and the king pays him a tremendous salary reward for training his son. And the king's ecstatic, and now he has a son who could take over when he steps down. A successor.
You didn't check
before the Chacham leaves, he says to the king, oops, there's one more thing I have to teach your son. And he says to the king's son, come with me. The king's son goes with the Chacham, they go into a room, and the Chacham suddenly pulls out a whip, and he starts hitting the king's son. And he hits him once, twice, gives him 50 marcus, hits him, what we have today, 50 marcus, hits him 50 times. And the son starts screaming in pain. He's bleeding. And he hits the son. Finally, he stops. The son runs out of the room. Daddy. Runs straight to his father and says, "What? He meshuggah? What happened to him? You just paid him and rewarded him? And this is what he does? He goes ahead and he beats me and he hits me? Look what he did to me." The king is furious. The king is angry. The king sends the soldiers. They grab the Chacham. He's ready to hang him. What did you do to my son? And the Chacham, and the king says to the Chacham, I'll allow you an explanation before we hang you. Before, please, what did you just do? And the Chacham says, what did you hire me to do? And the king says, I hired you to teach my son, to train my son how to be a king, and not to leave anything out. The Chacham says, everything. I just gave your son his final lesson. Because one day, your son's going to sit in judgment over his subjects, over people. And there'll be people that need to be punished. But the king doesn't know what it means to be hit. He was never hit in his life. He doesn't know what it means. He doesn't know the difference between hitting a person one time, 10 times, 20 times, 50 times. I hit him to make him understand that whatever punishment he carries out, he has to realize there's an effect that hurts somebody. Let him think as if it's happening to himself. If he thinks as if it's happening to himself, then he'll be more careful before he just gives out punishments to people. Says the Ben Ishchai, the same is true. With you. You want to help the ani. When a person is poor, an asher, he doesn't understand what it means to be poor. Was he ever hungry? Did he ever have a problem? He didn't have money to buy food. Did the asher ever have to suffer in the cold? He didn't have heat. Did the asher ever lack anything? He didn't lack anything. How could he fail for the ani? The teretz is, you have to be with you. The asher has to bring himself to feel as if it's happening to him. If the asher can bring himself to feel as if it's happening to him, that he's going through it, he's the one who's hungry, he's the one who's suffering, he's the one who's cold, then he'll be able to help the ani, then he'll be able to strengthen him. But until a first person feels that imach, that's with you, I'm together with him, it's happening to me as well, a person will not feel the same responsibility and the same willingness to go ahead and to help somebody else. So the side is imach. You have to feel together with you. And how many stories are said over where Gedayu went to collect money. It was a freezing cold day outside. And they came to the usher's house. And instead of going inside, they stood by the door. So the usher came out into the cold. And the usher said to him, the house is nice and warm. Why are we standing outside talking? And he said to him, I want you to feel what it means that someone doesn't have any heat in the house. There's no fire in the house. I'm standing outside talking to you in the cold. Imach. When a person feels, then he's willing to give to others. But as long as a person thinks, it's Yenem, not me, it's harder to give. The side is Imach to give with you. Vechzaktaboy. You should strengthen him. Another famous story. The Balatanya once went around collecting for Pidyon Shvuyim. And he had two Gaboyim who went around with him. And he came to a certain town. Famous story. You probably remember the story. As soon as, two Gaboyim went collecting with him. Maybe it was even two rabbis. I don't remember who went around collecting with him. They came to a certain town, and he asked, you know, where the Gvirim? We need to have a lot of money to collect. And they told him, here. But this Gvir, him, he's the biggest miser in town. At most, you'll get from him a rusty old copper coin. That's all he'll give you. He won't give you anything more than a rusty old copper coin. Nothing more than that. And the Balatani said, fine. You know what? I'm going to go to him. And he told the two people that were with him, you can come with me inside on one condition. No questions. Whatever you see, whatever happens, can't ask any questions. No questions. If you agree, you come with me inside. If not, wait outside. They agree, they all go inside. The Balatani explains to the Gevir, the Pitin Shvuyim, how great the mitzvah is, and how the people are suffering, and use the money to collect, and they're asking for a lot of money, and so on and so on. After speaking to them for a while, the Gevir says, I hear, you know what, I'm going to give you a donation. He runs to the back, he brings back one rusty old copper coin, and he gives it to the Balatanya, and he says, here's my donation. The two Galban are ready to strangle the usher. After a half hour listening to, and that's all you could give? And Balatanya says to the usher, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your donation. Would you like a receipt? Right, you had a receipt. Thank you so much. You don't know what this means to the cause and how this is going to help. Yashar koyach, thank you very much. And they're looking at him like, they turn to leave. And before the Balatanya walks out, he turns back and says again, Yashar koyach, thank you so much for your donation and your great help. Kadosh Baruch Hu should bench you and should give you all the hatzlach. And they walk down the steps. And they're looking at him. Suddenly, the rich man opens the door and he says, 1 minute, come back. They go back inside and he brings out 1,000 gold coins. And he gives 1,000 coins to the Balatanya. And they're looking at him. What happened? Balatanya, thank you so much. And he benches him. Brochus, thank you. And they walk out. They're down the steps. He calls them back and he says to the Balatanya, tell me, how much money do you need? I want to pay for the whole mitzvah. Whatever it costs, I want the mitzvah. How much money do you need? I'll give you all the money that you need. And he gives him every last penny he's a pidin shvuyim. He benches him and he thanks him. They walk outside. They can't hold themselves back. And they say to the Balatanya, what happened? Nobody was able to get more than a rusty old copper coin from him. And here you were able to get from him the whole amount of money, sacks and sacks of coins. And he says, because every yid deep down wants to do a mitzvah. Every yid wants to give. What happens? The Eitz Hara comes and covers it up, blocks a person, stops a person. A person tries, but this gevir, nobody ever let him do the mitzvah. All he could bring himself to give was one copper rusty old coin. But every time he offered a rusty old coin, they threw it back at him. Nobody even let him have a chance to do the mitzvah. He never felt what it was like to give tzedakah. But once I took that coin from him, and I thanked him, and I avenged him, he was able to feel the importance of the mitzvah, and the kedusha of the mitzvah. He felt them doing the mitzvah. It opened up his heart. He wanted to do more. He was able to give a little more. He gave a little more. It opened up his heart even further until he was able to give the whole amount. Sometimes all a person needs is a little chizik. Deep down, everybody wants to do good. Everybody wants to do what's right. But we all have a yetzahara. It's part of every person, yetzahara. A person needs a little chizik. Mechazik a person, a kind word, a bracha, a nice gesture, offer a person a seat, hello to a person, whatever it is mechazik a person. And it brings a person to do more and more and more. All a person needs is that little Pesach, and from there a person could grow. The comment to Parshas Bechukaisai, the Pasuk starts off, Im Bechukaisai Teilecho, Bechukaisai Tishmeru Ba'asisa Maisam. Bifaro Maichukim, Bechukaisai Tishmeru Ba'asisa Maisam. And Rashi brings down, what does it mean, Bechukaisai Tishmeru? Or Rashi means down, Imchukaisa Teilecho, Shatiyu Ameilim Batayra. You have to work, toil in Taira, work in Taira. We know when we make a Sim and a Mesech, then what do we say? Ono Ameilim, Veim Ameilim. Ono Ameilim, Umakabim Schar, Veim Ameilim, Veinim Makabim Schar. They work, the Goyim work, and so we work and we receive Schar, they work and they don't receive Schar.
Oleinu, same thing.
And the question is obvious. Would a Goy work without Schar? What do you mean they work without Schar? Go find me a Mexican who doesn't work without schar. You have to pay. Okay. But they need to be paid. No, what does it mean? Hey, my mailim, onu amailim umakabum schar, vehei my mailim, veinim kam schar. And one of the famous answers that's given is because if a person is hired to do a job, even though he tries, if he doesn't complete the job, he doesn't get paid for it. You hire somebody, okay, depends on the conditions and on the job. If you hire somebody to do a job, and he has a half a meaning of doing the job, or he starts, but he doesn't finish the job, you don't have to pay him for it. But by learning Torah, it's not true. A person learns Torah for the learning itself, the work in the learning, a person receives schar. Not all the times that a person learns does he come out and he understands the Gemara perfectly. Not every time does he understand every kasha, every teretz. But a person has cha for the learning itself, for the work that he puts in. Anu amelim, we work. The work in learning itself is where we receive schar. It's not like the goyim that work, and if they don't do the job, they're not paid. They don't finish the job. But yes, we work, we do the best that we can. We try. It's the amelus that counts. It's the working in the Torah that counts. Because after all, when a person learns, it makes the whole guf, the whole body becomes a chafsa shel mitzvah, the whole body becomes kodesh. Each word of Torah is a mitzvah. It's the amelus by Torah that counts. Anu amelim v'hem amelim, we work, we mekabel schar for our amelus, for our work in Torah. The next word I said over probably the past years, but we'll say it over again because it's the message is very appropriate and very powerful. Pasuk Ches, Perek Chavav, Pasuk Ches, V'rodfu mikem chamisha meya, u'meya mikem revav v'yidayfu. The pasuk tells us that 5 of you will chase 100 of the enemy, and 100 of you will chase revav 10,000 of the enemy. And Rashi writes, "Bichikachu acheshbin." Is that the cheshbin? Are the amounts correct? The pasuk should have said, "Elameya mekem shnei alafim yirdayfum." 100 of you should chase 2,000. 5 times 20 is 100. 20 times as much. 20 times 100 is 2,000. So where does it come? The number 10,000. 100 of you will chase 10,000. Where does 10,000 come? And Rashi answers, "Ela ein daim." It's not the same. Mu'atin ha'isin es ha'tayra, l'merubin ha'isin es ha'tayra. It's not the same when there are a few people who keep the Torah and do the mitzvahs to many people. When many people keep the Torah, it doesn't just grow proportionately, it grows much greater, and the schar is so much greater, so 100 will be able to chase away 10,000 of the enemy. The Blazer Gordon, the Tells of Rosh Shiva Zatzal, makes the cheshbon. I said this over many times, and it works out very nicely. If one person sits and he learns for an hour, so how much schar does he have? Schar for learning for 1 hour. Let's say he has a chavusa, and the two learn together for 2 hours. How much schar does each one have? Each one has 2 hours worth of schar. I learned my hour, plus I helped him learn his hour. So I have schar for learning my own hour, plus for his hour. He also has 2 hours worth of schar. Because he learned his hour, plus he helped me learn my hour. So between the two of us, two people learning for an hour, it's not 1 plus 1, it's not 2, it's 4. It's 2 times 2, it multiplies. It's 2 times 2. When you have 3 people learning together, each person has schar not only for his learning, but for yanim and yanim. So each one has 3 hours worth of schar. 3 squared, end up with having 9 hours of learning. If you take 100 people who do mitzvahs, 100 people that do mitzvahs, each one didn't just do mitzvahs for an hour, each one didn't just do 1 mitzvah, each one did 100. Because I was mechazik you, and you, and you, and everybody, and he was mechazik everybody else, we're all connected, we're all together. So when you have 100 people learning together, doing mitzvahs together, each one has credit for the other 99 and himself for 100. 100 times 100 is 10,000. So meya mekem revava yidayfu. 100 of you will chase after 10,000. So when we come together to learn Gemara, Chumash, the Chabura, so don't just think that we're coming to learn, I'm coming to learn for an hour. It's a good deal. You're coming to learn for an hour on the clock. But as far as the cheshbon goes, it's not just 1 hour. Because you came. Oh, he came also. And he saw, and he came. He has the good kasha. He has the good kasha. Everyone's mechazik, everybody else. Everybody feels the achrayus is to come because he's here. So it turns out that every one of us is not only responsible for our own coming, our own learning, but we also take credit for everybody else. Everybody takes credit for the whole chabura. So, you can come to learn on the clock for an hour, but in Shemayim, it's 10, 15, 20 hours of learning on your cheshbon. And Lachamei Vesrim, you know, come so many hours. Where did all the hours come from? They came from learning B'tziva, learning B'chabur. You learn together, it's not only a 1 hour deal. You get credit for everybody else. That's the kayach of the rabbin. B'tziva has a kayach that the yachid doesn't have. A person learns by himself, he gets credit for what he did. But a person learns with others, everything multiplies and expands. 10 becomes 100,000, 10,000, I'm sorry, 100 comes to 10,000, and so on. So when you learn together as a chabura, it grows and it grows and it grows.
What if a person learns in preparation to learn barabbah? In preparation to give a share? Is that like the star of the rabbin of his life?
I don't know. Maybe? I don't know. Could be.
Depends how many come into your class.
It could be 2, it could be 20.
Could be. The... We had the Gemara earlier in Mor Basra, that when it comes to the brachas, the first letter of the brachas in Bechukaisai is Im Bechukaisai. Im starts with an Aleph. And the last letter is Kamemius. At the end of the brachas in Pasuk Yud, in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Kamemius ends in a Saf. Brachas starts with an Aleph, ends with a Saf. It tells us that when the Yidden follow the Torah, it was Zeichet to Brachas Aleph to Tav, complete. Very beginning to the very end, nothing is missing. On the other hand, says the Gemara, the Kalalai start with a Vav, V'im Lai Sishmuli, a Vav, and they end all the way later on, they end with a Hey. It also goes through the whole Aleph phase, but it goes through Vav, it says, Bahar Sinai B'yad Moshe, ends with a Hey. It starts with a Vav, ends with a Hey. It's not in order, it goes backwards. All the Brachas, the Kalalai, are sort of all mixed up, not the Seder, not Aleph the Tav like the Brachas are. It says it's Fas Emes. Vav and a Hey, if you look closely, are half of Hashem's name. Hashem's name is Yud Kei, Vav Kei. The Kalalai start with a Vav, end with a Hey. It teaches us that even at a time of Kalalai, even when it looks like the time of Peroni is a punishment in the world, you should know that Hashem's there. Hashem's watching over us. Watching. And the Kalalai starts with a Vav, ends with a Hey, with the two of the letters of Hashem's name, to show us that even when it looks like it's the time of a Kalalai, it's not a time of Bracha, Hashem is there watching over us. Vav and Hey are the letters of Hashem's name. So no matter what situation a person is in, Hashem is always watching over us. At the end of the Teichacha, we say V'zacharti Esprisi Yaakov, V'af Esprisi Yitzchak, V'af Esprisi Avraham Eskar, V'ha'aretz Eskar in Pasuk Membeis, in Perik Chavov Membeis, V'zacharti Esprisi Yaakov, V'af Esprisi Yitzchak, V'af Esprisi Avraham Eskor v'ha'aretz Eskor. And the kasha is obvious. Why does the pasuk mention the avos in backwards order? Shouldn't the pasuk have said, "I remember the bris of my bris with Avraham, and my bris with Yitzchak, and my bris with Yaakov"? Yet the pasuk says it's in backwards order. I remember my bris with Yaakov, and my bris with Yitzchak, and my bris with Avraham. And the Kli Yopra says a fascinating pshat. Masha hiske ha'avos l'mafreya. The reason why the pasuk mentions the avos in backwards order, Yaakov first, and then Yitzchak, then Avraham, because in each generation, we use up the Swiss avos. How do we exist? Unfortunately, we're not big tzaddikim. We have to come up with the Swiss of the avos. So in each generation, we use up some of the Swissim of the avos. Says the Kleokor, imagine somebody has three purses, three wallets filled with money. He has wallet number one, number two, and number three. Rosh Chodesh Nisan, he starts taking money from wallet number one. Rosh Chodesh Iyar, he starts taking money from wallet number two. Rosh Chodesh Sivan takes money from wallet number three. Which one is used up first? The one that he started first. The one that he starts taking money from first gets used up first. The one that he starts taking money from second gets used up second. And the last one is the last one. Says the Kli Yopra, I might have thought that eventually this chusim of Avraham will be used up. After all, Avraham was the first of the avos. So every time we needed a schus, go back to the first one, and Avraham's schusim, we already used up. And Yitzchak's probably also. And all we have to rely on are the schusim of the last one, of Yaakov. Says the Kli Yopra, no, Zok the Pasik, there's a chad esprit in Yaakov. You should know, there always will be the schus of Yaakov. I'll always remember the bris of Yaakov, you always have Yaakov to rely on. But don't think it stops there. Don't think that Yitzchak's schusim are used up. But va'af, not only will I remember the bris I made with Yaakov, I remember the bris with Yitzchak. And don't think that Avram's chusma used up either. V'af es brisi Avram esko. I also remember the bris of Avram. No matter what generation we're in, wherever we're holding, we have the chus of the avos. And the pasuk is teaching us that the chusma of the avos are never used up. And Avram, Yitzchak and Yaakov's chusma are there for every generation to watch over us. So we have the bris of Yaakov, the bris of Yitzchak, and the bris of Avram as well. And we daven every day. Okay, Avraham. Okay, Yitzchak. Okay, Yaakov. End of one short story. Reb Zundel Misalant. There was an usher in town who had a very poor relative. And the usher never wanted to help out his relative. He refused to help him out. So Zundel Misalant went to the usher and he said to him, "You have a poor relative. You're an usher. Mitzvah of tzedakah, especially to your mishpacha. Help him out." So he told Zundel Misalant, "Ah, him? I hardly know who he is. I don't know him. I hardly know who he is." So Rabbi Zundel Misalant said to him, "Let me ask you a question. Do you daven Shemoneh Esrei every day? No, she said, of course, three times a day. Shachris Mincha Meir. What do you say in Shemoneh Esrei? Do you say, okay, Avram, okay, Yitzchak, okay, Yaakov? Of course. As it says in the Siddur, of course I say it. So the Kuddin Salat said to him, why are you davening to Hashem to help you with the schus of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? Do you know who they are? The thousands of generations, the many generations away from you. They live, never saw them. You never saw their children, their grandchildren, generations and generations away. And yet you daven, Hashem should help you in their schus. How could it be? Elamai, if you're a relative, you're a relative. You have a right to daven in their schus. If you could daven to Hashem to answer your tefillahs in the schus of your great, 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 great grandfathers that you never ever saw, you could definitely go ahead and help out your relative that's here with you together. And in that schus, your tefillahs should be answered. But if you're going to ignore your relative, then you have no right to daven that Hashem should answer your tefillahs with the schus of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yitzchak and Yaakov. We have the schus of Avraham, Yitzchak and Yaakov, okay, Avraham, okay, Yitzchak and Yaakov. So Taka, we're coming close to Shavuos. I count the tefillah. If anyone didn't count yet, don't say it, but tonight was number 38. So we're coming close to Shavuos. Less than 2 weeks to go. Tanka Prefik Kabbalah Satayra, Shtaka Bizaycha, that we should have a true Kabbalah Satayra, Kosh Baruch Hu Shuzanus, Yeshuas, Rufuas, Nechomas, and answer all of our Makosh, of the Obis of Mutsu Yaakov, Shtaka Bizaycha, and Mashiach's came here, remain on me.